first, I'm going to welcome my friend, the very funny John Fugelsang, to the show. Hey, John.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Terrific. Great to be on your show again. Great to hear you filling in for Randy.
I'm having a blast. Now, you're in New York, and you're going to get some of this snowstorm, too, aren't you?
We are, but it's not going to be as bad as D.C., fortunately. I know they just announced today that Congress is not going to do anything for the rest of the week on account of snow and the fact that they're Congress. So I don't really know how a Congress shutdown is going to change anything, but it just means the public option will collect some more dust.
Yeah, you got that right. Yes, we've been talking today about the fact that, you know, I started off with this. I woke up this morning thinking of the old, you know, the bit from Network, you know, Howard Beale.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
And then I read Robert Reich's column today on his blog and also at Huffington Post, and he was writing about Obamanomics 1 year out. Mm. And one of the issues that he cited is mad as hell politics. And he talked, I'm just going to read you this one section. It says, the economic stresses of continued high unemployment and low wages are contributing to the growth of the I'm mad as hell party, a ragtag collection of Tea Partiers furious at establishment Republicans, left-wing Democrats angry at what they consider lily-livered Democrats in Washington, and independents disgusted with everybody inside the Beltway. Mad as hellers on the right hate government. Mad as hellers on the left hate big business. Both share a growing sense that the economic game is rigged against them. The two are also united by how much they detest Wall Street and its bailout and their contempt for any cozy relationship between big business and government. They distrust the Fed and have no particular fondness for international trade either. Mad as hellers are likely to be a formidable force in the upcoming midterms and beyond. I think he nailed it.
I think he did, too. But I do think that he errs by implying that there's as much left anger towards Obama as there is right anger towards Obama. The situation seems to be that the people who are supporting Obama need to be more angry with him, and the people who are angry with him need to be more angry at Bush.
But I don't think there it's so much angry at Obama, but angry at the Democrats for look, when is the last time the Democrats have had a supposed 60 seat majority in the Senate and an 80 seat majority in the House? I mean, these numbers, they should be able to get stuff through. And we watched George Bush ram all kinds of nonsense through Congress when he was president without those numbers.
Well,
so
absolutely.
Democrats are bad at the Democratic members of Congress more so than Obama, I think.
Well, as well they should be. I don't know why Democrats are so upset about losing the 60-seat supermajority, because it's not like they were using it anyway. I'm actually pitching a new reality game show about Obama's economic agenda called New Deal or No New Deal.
Okay.
A lot of people are realizing that he's not the reformer that they thought they were getting, and it's up to your listeners and, you know, all the good folks of conscience on the left to keep the pressure on. We got to remember, these people aren't our leaders. They're our employees. They work for us. We're the hiring committee. And one thing that the conservative movement has always done better is they're organized. What we see with the Tea Party convention is what I call peasant maintenance, as well as Fox News. You know, rich people pay Fox people to make middle class people blame poor people. Which is why you see all this acorn outrage.
Yep.
And seeing the tea baggers convention was terrific TV, because I have to wonder how, you know, American Indians feel when they hear tea baggers say, I want my country back.
Oh, God, no kidding.
But the teabag thing is actually kind of brilliant, because all the Republicans and conservatives who were disaffected and disappointed with Bush, and there should have been a lot if you're an actual conservative, they are not going to jump ship or go anywhere. The Tea Party movement is pretty much a corral meant to keep them enclosed somewhere safe until they come around and just vote for Republican again. It's really going to be a brief flurry. I don't really see this thing taking off, but it is fun to watch, because you have to remember, and I tell all my friends this, after the Tea Partiers have eaten the progressives and the minorities and the immigrants and the anti-war folks, gays and lesbians, trial lawyers and poor people, they're going to go after the educated Republicans next.
Oh.
And they'll be at
Ooh.
Risk then. So the time has come for the educated Republicans to try and straighten out these people before they can't control them anymore.
Yeah, but the educated Republicans are pretty much the ones with the money, and they have all those other people doing their, you know, their dirty work for them, voting against their own best interests, and convincing them, because they're the smart ones, that, you know, to do their bidding. So, you know, I don't know that these unwashed masses, you know, the tractor pull people are really going to go against the rich ones, because they think that they're on their side.
Exactly. It used to be we had three basic groups of Republicans to choose from. You had your golden calf worshippers, you know, your Wall Street guys. Then you had your conservative Christians, the people who worship Jesus as a god, because that's a lot easier than following his actual teachings. Mm-hmm. And your third group of Republicans, guys who like Tom Clancy books. And now what we've seen with the teabag movement is a newer, angrier, meaner, dumber, louder breed. And it really is, you know, harnessing this, but it's harnessing rage. You know, Fox News will never go broke, because you will never go broke telling people who are angry where to channel it to. And you'll never go broke telling people who were wrong for 8 years straight that they were right about everything.
Hmm. Good said. John Fugelsang is with us. John now has a website, by the way. It's johnfugelsang.com. You just have to figure out how to spell it.
Yeah, it's not easy. I'm also on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes, you are. Actually, I've got a link to your site from my blog at radioornot.com. Hey, John, you feel like taking some phone calls?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to, all right, Gene is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Gene, you're on with Nicole Sandler and John Fugelsang on The Randy Rhodes Show.
Oh, wow, what a great thing. Now, I liked what you were saying, Nicole, about the single payer, and I wanted to add to that. You were talking about the being mad as hell and not going to take it anymore. If this is the generation that's going to finally act on that and rally, I think we should go for the whole enchilada, and because Medicare, as it is now, is not a comprehensive health plan. We have a lot of stopgap measures, trying to fix things, Medigap, S-CHIP, your COBRA extension you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to agitate for is what other countries already have, and that's a comprehensive universal health plan.
That's right.
Cradle to grave.
Exactly.
We need to cover everyone and finally improve Medicare at the same time.
Right. And what people don't seem to understand, and when I hear the Republicans talking about this, you know, they want to cover everybody and it wouldn't cost anything. Nobody's asking for a free ride here. I don't mind paying my premiums. I do mind paying them to a for-profit health insurance company that's no better than an extortionist who I don't believe will give me the services I pay for when I need it. And I really object to the profits, 20 to 30% right off the top, that goes to pay their CEO those exorbitant, obscene salaries and their shareholders. I'd rather it all go to the cost of health care, and I'd rather pay it to the U.S. government and let them pay my doctors for the services I use.
Well, it's only 3%, I think, overhead
for Medicare.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what we need. And Physicians for a National Health Program. You heard I was talking to Dr. Paul Hochfeld from Mad as Hell Doctors. If you go to madasheldoctors.com, they have links to all the single payer, the big single payer advocate groups. That's who we need to get behind. You know, I do agree with the Republicans who say we need to start over. If we're going to start over from scratch on this health care legislation, let's go back, and this time, don't take single payer off the table before you even, you know, start cooking dinner.
Well, that's not going to happen with the conservative Democrats who are running the ship here. I mean, I do agree that the current healthcare plan is kind of like swooping up the survivors off the Titanic and putting them on a much nicer sinking ship. There's no public option, and as you said, Americans are forced to buy inferior private plans. Now, Americans like inferior products. They voted for one in 2000 and 2004. But this thing right now is so watered down, Dick Cheney could pour it on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's face. The thing that we have to do as progressives is to ask our conservative friends, can you name one country with socialized health care that has tried to give it up and adopt a system like ours? And can you name any one of our capitalist allies who has socialist health care who doesn't want it? You know, there's nothing more hilarious than seeing senators with socialized health care warning us of the evils of socialized health care. But the public option isn't socialism. Single payer is. The public option is the O'Douls of universal care. And if you're afraid of competition, you don't get to call yourself a capitalist anymore. Likewise, if you don't care about saving American lives, you don't get to call yourself a patriot. And if you don't care about helping the sick, it's time to stop calling yourself a Christian.
And it's time to stop calling herself pro-life.
Well, exactly.
That is the biggest misnomer out there. They're pro-life for things living in the womb, but once a baby is born, then it's, you're on your own.
Only in America can you be pro-death penalty, pro-war, pro-unmanned drone bombs, pro-nukes, pro-guns, pro-torture, pro-landmines, and still call yourself pro-life. It's the pro-some-life movement.
John Fugelsang is with us here on the Randy Rhoads Show. All right, let's go talk to Helen. Helen, you're in Florida. Where in Florida are you?
Lake Worth.
Oh, okay. Well, not too far from here. You're in Randy's old stomping grounds.
Absolutely. And I've been listening to her for a long, long time. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Couple of things, please. First of all, I think it's great about Lieutenant Dan Choi. Isn't he the one that came out on Rachel Maddow's show?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
Isn't that cool? Yeah. John, did you hear that he's been called back to active duty?
I know. Isn't it wonderful? I think it's really great. Now, if we can just put a hold on all those other people that are dangling out there, we'd be good to go.
Yep.
It's interesting how low recruitment numbers can make the U.S. military gay curious.
And per your recent comments about the insurance, I agree with you on the single payer. It's just astounding to me. I think maybe if the American public would say, you know what, if we can't have health care, then you have to give up your health care until we get it, because why should we pay for something for you that we can't have ourselves?
Well,
so,
exactly,
right,
but we don't have any mechanism to do that, unfortunately.
Well, you know, we just maybe march on Washington. I haven't seen any of us progressives doing that yet either.
Well,
but
you got
basically,
that right.
One of the things I wanted to bring to your attention and to yours too, John, I was at a recent Democratic Women's Club meeting in Florida last week, and we had one of our representatives come in to speak with us. And Florida, as you know, got a big chunk of the stimulus money for transportation for this supposed rail system that they want to look at again.
So
instead of doing the right thing and going down the East Coast along tracks that already exist, of course they want to do this fancy thing. But we also found out that apparently there's nothing in the stimulus bill that requires this money to be spent creating jobs in the U.S., because the money that Florida got is for the planning stages of this rail. And guess who's doing that?
Oh, boy. A Japanese company.
A Spanish company.
Okay.
Now, we don't have engineers in Florida.
Yeah. No, and Helen, you know, this is a topic maybe for another day as well. This
Absolutely.
Rail that they're building from Tampa to Orlando... What a waste of money. It's an hour-long drive down already a I-4, a divided big highway. That's the last place they need it. You need something high-speed rail going north to south in Florida. And, talk about a big, major waste of money and a stupid project.
Or else, you know, enhance Tri-Rail, expand it further north. Or
exactly.
Move to the FEC tracks on the East Coast so people who work and live along the eastern edge of Florida could take advantage of the same benefits that Tri-Rail has. I used to ride Tri-Rail, and I loved it when I worked in Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
So
it was
a wonderful, wonderful thing. But it really angers me. I'm absolutely outraged that these people would take my tax money and give it to a Spanish company. Why are we creating jobs in Spain?
I don't know.
We desperately need them here.
Gotcha. Good question, Helen. Thanks for calling. Yeah, I mean, I don't recall. I live in Florida. I don't recall ever being asked my opinion on what kind of high-speed rail system to do, but it certainly wouldn't be from Tampa to Orlando. It would be up and down the coast. It would be north to south, because if anybody has ever tried to drive out of South Florida, it is interminable.
Absolutely.
The drive goes on forever, and it's a reason why a lot of people don't drive down here, because it takes forever to get down here. Anyway, John Fugelsang is with us. We got to take a break. We will, and we'll be back with more of John, me, Nicole Sandler, in for Randy Rhoads. Don't go away. It is Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com filling in for Randy Rhoads, and as soon as the show is over, I'm going to head on over to my regularly scheduled show at RadioOrNot.com. So if you want to continue the conversation, come on over and join me there. In the meantime, we are on with the very funny and talented John Fugelsang. You can find him online on Facebook and Twitter and JohnFugelsang.com. And if you don't know how to spell it, go to RadioOrNot.com and there's a link there. John, I know you and I, you're my usual Thursday night buddy. We usually hang out on Thursday nights and do what we're doing now on my show. And we've talked a lot about health care reform, and it has just been a major roller coaster ride. So on Sunday before the Super Bowl, the president said he was going to have this summit on the 25th. And, you know, now Boehner and what McConnell are making demands. What do you think is going to happen at this thing?
Well, it's all real theater, isn't it? I mean, I thought we were having a healthcare debate and summit for the last year in this country, and now, you know, Obama's very good at doing theater. I enjoyed his RA training session with the Democrats and Republicans last week, but this is just, you know, more sort of the same stuff being shuffled around. A lot of progressives and your listeners are waiting for someone to just stand up and lead on this. You know, Harry Truman didn't wait for consensus to desegregate the military, and you could put through a public option right back into the bill and ram it through on a 44, or rather a 56 to 44 vote at this point, and lose those right-wing Democrats and the Liebermans. And you could get it through right now with reconciliation. There's really no excuse not to do it. And, you know, if Obama's serious, he'd rather be a good one-term president than a bad two-term president. He could get it through. But I really
I don't believe him on that, because if he really felt that way, he would do it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's no big secret. Obama's Twitter page has worked harder for reform than he has. but I think it should have been the Republicans leading this whole fight. If they had taken this on, they could have rammed reform through both houses faster than that other unread masterpiece, the Patriot Act. I mean, can you imagine Fox News? They would have accused anybody opposed to national health care of disregard for Americans. They would have called it treason. Every night Sean Hannity's head would get all big and red and swollen. You know when Sean gets mad and he looks like Fred Flintstone when Barney takes the Fruity Pebbles?
I mean, no, because I don't watch him.
Well, it should have been the Republicans leading this whole fight, because they claim to be capitalists. You know, why would believers in a free market deny Americans the choice of cheaper Canadian drugs or fight a government health care option that competed with insurance companies to drive down prices?
And bring down the deficit.
Exactly. These guys are not capitalists, okay? They've given the word capitalist to a system that would make Ayn Rand join the Teamsters.
And you got it. John, we are flat out of time. John Fugelsang, this went too fast.
It did.
I'm Nicole Sandler. Thank you so much for listening.